This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have called us from out of nothing and from nowhere to be your presence in the world. Yet we have our problems, our divisions, our timidity. And yet you have promised to make us into salt, to season an unsavory world, to be a light to shine in the darkness. Help us to shine, Lord. Make us more than we could be by ourselves. Join us together as members of your body so that we might be your hands, your feet, your presence offered to the world. Amen. Good morning. The gospel that we hear today is a very appropriate one as we launch into our busy time, really the active church year season for us at St. Joseph's, as all our programs begin to kick in with our ministry fair and everything else that goes with it. And it's an important one because it calls us to keep in mind, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, the big picture. That the approach we are called to take in our personal relationships, as well as our professional ones, is a different one than what we would most oftentimes see going on in the world about us. To understand it, perhaps we need to look into what this whole chapter of Matthew's gospel is about in just a short summary fashion. Matthew talks about the big picture, that we have received this great gift from God, the grace and love poured out in Jesus Christ. And we are so impacted by that in our spiritual being that we want to share that with other people. And we want to do whatever we can to not be an obstacle or prevent anyone from receiving that good news, but to be able to share it with them. So Matthew starts in this chapter by talking about a little child who in his day and age had absolutely no value. And he has Jesus say, "You welcome this child, you welcome me." Why? Because everyone has value, because everyone is worthy of the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on. And he says, "And you know, if you are doing anything that is a stumbling block, a scandal, that is going to prevent anyone else from properly being able to receive that message by what you say or by what you do, stop doing it." Why? Because of the big picture. Because it's too important for us to jeopardize anybody not being able to have that gift. He goes on, and he says, "And if you have your own personal stumbling blocks, by the way you are choosing to live your life, by what you're doing or not doing, stop it. He says, if you are sinning with your eyes, you'd be better off to cut your eyes out than to risk losing the gift that Jesus wants to give you. If your hand or your arm is the thing that's causing you to sin, cut it off, because you're better losing that than losing the gift that Jesus wants to give you. Big picture again. He goes on. And he says, the 100 sheep that a shepherd has, 99 of them are fine and one of them gets lost. What does the good shepherd do? He leaves the 99 and goes to seek out the lost one of the 100, 1%. Why? Because it is too important a gift to risk anybody not being able to have it. Now that's the background for this reading that we just heard. So the background for it and the context tells us the important thing in our relationships when we're dealing one with another is to keep the big picture in mind. And my friends, that is hard to do. When somebody has done something to hurt me, usually the last person I want to talk to about it is the person who hurt me. What do we usually want to do? We want to talk to the 20 or 30 or 100 of our closest friends to tell them all what that dirty SOB just did to me. And yet, what happens when we do that? We have not opened up that person to reconciliation, and we have just turned 20, 30, or however other many people we can find to turn against that person, as well as perhaps put up a stumbling block for everybody to move forward in their relationship. Is there going to be conflict? Yes, there's going to be conflict. Is there going to be difficulty? Yes, there's going to be difficulty. Whenever somebody comes to the church and they meet with me and they say, I want to join your church because, you know, in my job, I find all these people who are deceitful and mean and they lie, or in their personal life, they've been burned by a relationship and they say, I don't want to be around people or anything anymore that isn't right. I'm coming to the church because I want to be in a place where those things don't happen. Well, boy, has that person set themselves up for disappointment. Because we're human. Because in human relationships, there are going to be rubs. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have conflict. We will be offended and we will offend. The important thing here is keeping the big picture in mind and not choosing to gossip, not choosing to go to the 20 or 30 other people, but trying to resolve it first with that person. And then the process is set up from there. Fortunately, I think most of the time when we go to someone who we are already in relationship with and keeping the big picture in mind, tell them how what they have done or said or not done or not said hurts us, it usually becomes the occasion for that relationship to be healed. Not to acknowledge there aren't times when that doesn't happen, but the majority of the times, if we take it in that order, that will resolve it. And we can all move on. It becomes important what we say and who we say it to. There's a poem that was written last century by a man by the name of Will Carleton. Perhaps in your schooling somewhere along the line you have read it or heard it. It's in the form of a poem. It's called The First Settler's Story. And he tells the story of this man who goes out as the first pilgrim or settler out there, and he's got a new wife who's a city girl, and she doesn't understand the ways of the range or the farm. And so he comes home one night, and he finds that when he wants to milk the cows are gone because she has forgotten to close the gate. And he writes this, one night when I came home unusually late, too hungry and too tired to feel first rate, her supper struck me wrong, though I'll allow she hadn't much to strike with anyhow. And when I went to milk the cows and found they'd wandered from their usual feeding ground, and maybe left a few long miles behind him, which I must now copy if I meant to find him, flash quick the stay chains of my temper broke, and in a trice these hot words I spoke. You ought to have kept the animals in view and drove them in, you'd nothing else to do. The heft of all your life on me must fall. You just lie around and let me do it all. Well, he quickly regrets having said those words, but it's too late. In the story, his wife goes out trying to find the cows. She gets lost. She encounters some bad weather. She ends up dying. He regrets what he has said. And in his concluding stanza in the poem, he writes this. Boys flying kites haul in their white-winged birds. You can't do it that way when you're flying words. Careful with fire is good advice, we know. Careful with words is 10 times doubly so. Thoughts unexpressed may sometimes fall back dead, but God himself can't kill them once they're said. He makes a powerful point about the words we choose to say. When we perceive that we have been wronged, perhaps we have. But once the words have been said, how quickly the regret will come. It becomes important for us when we have perceived to have been wronged, how we choose to handle it. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect marriage. There is no perfect friendship. There will always be conflict. The difference becomes what we choose and how we choose to handle it. Mother Teresa, when she died, they found something that was written on the wall of one of the orphanages in Calcutta where she spent a lot of time. It's an adaptation of a prayer that was written by someone else or a poem, but I think it is most appropriate to end with it today with this theme. The words on the wall read like this. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. May it be so for us. Let us take that to prayer.